A whole hour now passed, gold beaten out to ages. Time itself now held long breaths with keen suspense. But at last, some 3 points off the weather bow, Ahab descried the spout again, and instantly from the 3 mastheads 3 shrieks went up, as if the tongues of fire had voiced it. "Forehead to forehead I meet thee this third time, Moby Dick! On deck there! Brace sharper up! Crowd her into the wind's eye! He's too far off to lower yet, Mr. Starbuck! The sails shake! Stand over that helmsman with a topmaul! So, he travels fast, and I must down. But let me have one more good look round aloft here at the sea. There's time for that. An old, old sight, and yet somehow so young, aye, and not changed a wink since I first saw it, a boy from the sandhills of Nantucket. The same to Noah as to me. There's a soft shower to leeward. Such lovely leewardings. They must lead somewhere. To something else than common land, more palmy than the palms. Leeward. The white whale goes that way, to look to windward then. The better if the bitterer quarter. But goodbye. Goodbye, old masthead. What's this, green? Aye, tiny mosses in these warped cracks. No green weather stains on Ahab's head. There's the difference now between man's old age and matters. But aye, old mast, we both grow old together. Sound in our hulls, though, are we not, my ship? Aye, minus a leg, that's all. By heaven, this dead wood has the better of my live flesh every way. I can't compare with it. And I've known some ships made of dead trees outlast the lives of men made of the most vital stuff of vital fathers. What's that he said? He should still go before me, my pilot, and yet to be seen again. But where? Will I have eyes at the bottom of the sea, supposing I descend those endless stairs? And all night I've been sailing from him, wherever he did sink to. Aye, like many more, thou told'st direful truth as touching thyself, O Parsi. But Ahab, there thy shot fell short. Goodbye, masthead. Keep a good eye upon the whale. The while I'm gone, we'll talk tomorrow. Nay, tonight, when the white whale lies down there, tied by head and tail. He gave the word, and still gazing round him, was steadily lowered through the cloven blue air to the deck. In due time the boats were lowered, but as standing in his shallop's stern, Ahab just hovered upon the point of the descent, he waved to the mate, who held one of the tackle ropes on deck, and bade him pause.
Starbuck!
Sir?
For the third time my soul's ship starts upon this voyage, Starbuck.
Aye, sir. Thou wilt have it so.
Some ships sail from their ports and ever afterwards are missing, Starbuck.
Truth, sir. Saddest truth.
Some men die at ebb tide, some at low water, some at the full of the flood. And I feel now like a billow that's all one crested comb, Starbuck. I am old. Shake hands with me, man.
Their hands met, their eyes fastened. Starbuck's tears the glue.
Oh, my captain, noble heart. Go not, go not. See, it's a brave man that weeps. How great the agony of the persuasion, then. Lower away, cried Ahab, tossing the mate's arm from him. Stand by the crew.
In an instant the boat was pulling round close under the stern.
"The sharks! The sharks!" cried a voice from the low cabin window there. "Oh, master, my master, come back!"
But Ahab heard nothing, for his own voice was high lifted then, and the boat leaped on. Yet the voice spake true, for scarce had he pushed from the ship when numbers of sharks, seemingly rising from out the dark waters beneath the hull, maliciously snapped at the blades of the oars every time they dipped in the water, and in this way accompanied the boat with their bites. It is a thing not uncommonly happening to the whaleboats in those swarming seas, the sharks at times apparently following them in the same prescient way that vultures hover over the banners of marching regiments in the east. But these were the first sharks that had been observed by the Pequod since the white whale had been first descried. And whether it was that Ahab's crew were all such tiger-yellow barbarians, and therefore their flesh more musky to the senses of the sharks, a matter sometimes well known to affect them, however it was, they seemed to follow that one boat without molesting the others. Heart of wrought steel,
murmured Starbuck, gazing over the side and following with his eyes the receding boat. "Canst thou yet ring boldly to that sight, lowering thy keel among ravening sharks and followed by them open-mouthed to the chase, and this the critical third day? For when 3 days flow together in one continuous intense pursuit, be sure the first is the morning, the second the noon, and the third the evening, and the end of that thing, be that end what it may. Oh, my God! What is this that shoots through me, and leaves me so deadly calm, yet expectant, fixed at the top of a shudder? Future things swim before me as in empty outlines and skeletons. All the past is somehow grown dim. Mary girl, thou fadest in pale glories behind me. Boy, I seem to see but thy eyes grown wondrous blue. Strangest problems of life seem clearing, but clouds sweep between. Is my journey's end coming? My legs feel faint, like his who has footed it all day. Feel thy heart, beats it yet? Stir thyself, Starbuck, stave it off. Move, move, speak aloud. Masthead there, see ye my boy's hand on the hill? Crazed. Aloft there, keep thy keenest eye upon the boats. Marked well the whale. Ho, again! Drive off that hawk! See, he pecks, he tears the vane. Pointing to the red flag flying at the main truck. Ah, he soars away with it. Where's the old man now? Seest thou that sight, O Ahab? Shudder, shudder!